register, but we're going to break that rule for a few of them. I'm going to give a quick lightning talk on 1000 Parsec. 1000 Parsec is a game project that I work on with Lee, who's sitting behind the camera there. 1000 Parsec is a framework for building empires, space empire games like Master of Orion, Stars, VGA Planets. It's got a client which downloads all this information from the server. So one server could have a Star Trek universe, one server could have a Star Wars universe, and you can use the same client to access both. It's heavily customizable. We have two servers, one in Python, one in C++. We now have two clients, one in KDE and one in WXPython. WXPython runs on Mac, Windows, and Linux of most varieties. We have binaries for Mac, so if you're scared of source code, Mac binaries exist. Windows binaries exist. We're looking for a Debian packager. If you know how to package devs, please come see me so we can actually get devs as well. Our website is www.1000parsec.net, and today we've just started an AI programming contest. There's lots of cool prizes that you can come with. Come and join the project and try your hand at writing an AI for it. That's what the lightning talk is. I'm now going to hand it over to Andy, who's doing a quick update on ScumVM. You've got 5 minutes.
All right, I'm Ender, although everyone knows me as Andy on Freenode. I'm a co-project lead of ScumVM, which is an interpreter for 2D adventure games. ScumVM runs pretty much any game anyone here would have played as a kid, or possibly even now. From originally LucasArts games, which is Maniac Mansion, Zack McCracken, Sam Max, Day of the Tentacle, Monkey Island, all that, to a whole bunch of others, which we've managed to support either by reverse engineering them, or by obtaining the source code from the original developers, which is part of our major attempt to, as a goal. As well as actually running these engines, I mean, we support like 12 engines now, and if you look at our website, which is ScumVM, with two M's, .org, we support more games than you can probably imagine. Recently we've started supporting some Sierra games, the early text-based parser ones, which we've always said we'd never do. We now do. We run on pretty much any platform you can imagine, from Linux, Windows, Mac, DS, PlayStation Portable, PlayStation 2, PlayStation 3, Symbian OS phones, anything really. And yeah, we recently completed a fundraiser where we raised $950 in 12 hours, which, I was sure there was a bug in my counting script there, but apparently we did. So that's what we do. We're always looking for developers, and even if you can't code, we're looking for documentation writers at the moment. We've got even less luck there. So check us out. Join us on our IRC channel or our forums, which I've just noticed are down, so I have to go fix them. And play some really old games. I have no idea how many games, but perfect.
Your time's up. Okay. Is Resta here?
Yep.
You're Resta? You've got 5 minutes on Eva.
Can I project it? No,
that's kind of been...
No, because I actually have things to do.
All right.
Sorry.
All right, guys. Well, in that case, turn up to my talk on Wednesday. It's the one about pants, so you can see demos there. It's very easy to find that one. Basically...
Your pants are on.
Huh? Well, the pants are on at the moment. That's good. Basically, one of the things, if you're writing games, especially old-style 2D games you may be interested in, the back-end for Enlightenment, which is a window manager, is in fact very much inspired by game development. which is what made me write in the first place. And it could save you an absolute ton of time. It should be incredibly easier to use an SDL and do most of the hard work for you. And do things like filtered scaling, automatically abstract to either OpenGL rendering software, XRender, or other different targets, FB or NX. There's even a direct FB engine, which is a little bit dead. And it's basically a state engine. So you don't actually say draw, read, or frame, then draw everything from, you know, paint's algorithm bottom to top. You just say take objects, move where I want to, change their properties, and it does everything for you. Nothing left to do. It handles like images, as basically sprites, can do all the scaling for you. Text, you can build entire menus. I built my own personal media center using it. There's video objects, so just stick an MPEG as an object. You can stick multiple MPEGs, alpha blend them, scale them, whatever you want, and it does it all for you.
What's it called?
Evis.
Evis.
And there's a whole bunch of libraries or something. Enlightenment.org is where you can get all the information. But it's a backend for that, and if you do any good game development and want to save yourself time and effort, it may help you. It may not. It may not be your cup of tea. That's up to you. But, yeah. So, that was my lightning talk in about 2 minutes.
States called Linden Labs, and they released this awesome, awesome 3D world that's called Second Life, and they had every freaking intention to open source the entire thing. So Second Life is like whatever you can imagine. It's got like you build objects in Second Life, but these primitive objects, you can script them using an in-world scripting language. You can texture them, you can build whatever you want. So there's like gigantic cities, companies have private offices and all of this kind of stuff on Second Life, and it's basically like, I don't know, maybe a really, really big 3D IRC client, and there's just one network. And anyway, like this thing is like thousands and thousands of miles when you actually scale it down. And what I'm doing at the moment, about 2 weeks ago, Linden Labs released the Second Life client as an open source piece of software. And there are a number of problems with that. The number of good things. The number of good things is that they're keeping up their promise because they're using so much open source software to release their code. The server's probably a year and a half, 2 years off for release. So what they've done, they've given the client to the community, and they're actually going to concentrate their development more on the server. So they're going to bring the graphics up to date because it's starting to look a little dated. But it's totally cool, and you should probably check it out. And it's at secondlife.com. And what I'm doing with the open source client, since it's early days, is that I'm making sure it's supported on multiple architectures on Linux. So at the moment, I've got a patch ready for the PowerPC stuff, and I'm just trying to get SVN access. And this guy's going to show you.
See, I was just wishing for that 10 minutes ago.
Anyways, we'll do this without presentation, even if it's kind of funny to watch. If you're interested in the presentation, you should see here, you maybe come to me later and we'll show you. So I'm also in Second Life. My name is Matt Reffenbrook. I'm normally coming from the OpenQM project, which is a data center management system. And as soon as I detected Second Life and detected that I was able to build my own object, I for sure want to have my own data center within Second Life. So what I did is I built several objects, like server racks with blade nodes in it, or virtual environments presenting servers and services, all kinds of stuff. And I programmed these objects to get monitoring data via a self-proxy server from my real existing data center in the real world. So what you can see is that the nodes are actually updating their status, or getting information about their status through a proxy server with a two-sided authentication, through my from the through the proxy server to my OpenQM server in my private data center. So the object's getting information from this OpenQM server in my data center, and you also can do, you can send actions from the virtual objects in Second Life through the proxy to the data center. So when I step into Second Life and put my data center out of my pocket from the inventories, you don't have to have it with you, don't have to steadily build it, but you can have it with you in your pocket. You just pull it out, went in, administer your nodes, assign some servers, check the status, and put everything with you inside your pocket again. So the basic idea is to use Second Life as a user interface for regular programs. This is the whole idea.
Is that like the Doom system administration?
It's kind of similar, but you're actually going to be able to do useful things inside Second Life, which are happening then in real life. If you're interested in a short presentation, catch me on the floor and I will try to present it to you.
We've got time for two more 5-minute talks. Does
yes,
anybody...
Questions, I think.
No.
You want to do a 5-minute talk?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm good. Okay. You don't get to use a projector.
I don't think it works anyway. So. There's a little project that me and a few friends have been working on for the past couple of years called OpenC2E. There was a series of games called Creatures. Some of you might have heard of them, some of you might not have heard of them. They're kind of old. I think the first version of it, Creatures 1, had its 10-year anniversary a while ago. So anyway, what we're doing, there's three different engines, Creatures 1 engine, Creatures 2 engine, and the Creatures 3 engine, which is called the Creatures Evolution engine. What Creatures is, it's basically an artificial life toy. There's an in-game macro system, so all the objects in-game. One of the really cool things about this game is that pretty much all the kind of code for all the objects in-game, so it's kind of like a 2D world with a whole bunch of like toys and like food and things, and you've got like little creatures that walk around and interact with the world. Like they press on the toys and they kind of spin around or like make sounds. Or it's kind of a bit. But all the creatures have kind of neural networks that, in Creatures 1 at least, evolved. So as the creatures would breed and they'd spawn separate generations and they're actually like little fuzzy kind of cute things. But anyway, so what we're doing is we're cloning the engine because it's all closed source and proprietary, and it didn't run on Linux mostly or macOS. So we're cloning all three engines, which lets us run all the Creatures games pretty much, and a lot of spin-offs like Sea Monkeys and Creatures Adventures and a whole bunch of things that actually use the Creatures Evolution engine but slightly modified. So yeah, the project's called OpenC2E, and if you want a bit more information, join #ccdevnet on Freenode, and there are a few of the core developers hang out there most of the time. So, yeah.
We've got time for one more 5-minute talk if anybody wants to give one. Otherwise, we'll go on to the PS3 talk.
Oh yeah, and if anybody would like to code physics stuff for us,
that'd be great.
Will anyone see as well?
Yes, you will.
When you have to physics, we will ask for documentation, people. We never do.
So
can somebody in those lines dim the prompt?
I
don't
know,
is that how
the
lines button
two.
My name is David Sykes. I work for a company called TerraSoft Solutions who are using Yellow.Linux. Linux. And at the moment, if you go to their website, you can pre-order a PlayStation 3 with Yellow.Linux Linux pre-installed. This is the very first
PlayStation 3 with Linux pre-installed ever sold in the world. Hopefully we can get the thing to boot up and actually go through a projector. This is one of the problems with the PS3. There we go. You get that on the projector, that'll work fine. Can we?
I think the projector's off.
Yeah.
Is there any evidence that the projector's off?
Yeah.
Is there any evidence that the projector works at all?
It worked early this morning.
Yes.
Well, is there a reason my education people wanted to swap?
Well, of course they're doing Moodle and they have twice as many people at the moment.
Well, trust me, it's booting up.
It does look like it's off, indeed, because before it was the same.
Up here you would have seen two yellow dog symbols and six penguins.
And this is the quiet mode, right?
Yeah.
It's another to be able to see the on off set.
It's not on.
That could do it.
Otherwise it could say no RGB signal, which you're on.
Yeah, probably.
The lamp's off.
Power button on there.
Quick buttons on
the... Yeah, yeah, there is.
The buttons behind your projection setting.
Unless it's...
No, that a light.
No, there's a light.
Quick things on the screen until it works. We have nothing on the screen. We have a bunch of buttons, and according to this, the projector should be on.
Sometimes the gear call off before it turns back on.
That could be it.
Well, anyway. PlayStation 3 is a games console first, and a multimedia device and Linux computer second. Because of this, there are some restrictions. One of them is getting decent video output, I think. Will I stop flashing?
It's turning on.
You can hear it?
I can see.
Yes, it's on the
app. Yes, it's on the
Now will we actually get
a video to the rest?
Will we get anything?
Is that a big blue screen?
It worked in Matthew.
Excellent.
Well, it's almost there.
Also in progress.
Hey!
Now rebooted.
Touch sensitive buttons. Hold the finger there for 2 seconds and sends a proper shutdown signal to Linux, which does a proper shutdown. Cool. All right, booting up again. The way you get Linux onto the PlayStation 3 is through something called KBoot. This is KBoot. It's basically a Linux kernel with BusyBox, like two penguins, which is designed basically to boot other Linux kernels. And in a second now we'll actually get to the prompt. This isn't showing itself. There we go, it's KBoot prompt. As far as I know, they haven't actually managed to look at source code for this, but as far as I understand, KBoot is an ELF executable. The way you get Linux onto a PlayStation 3. Is that over here now? Oh, it's gone on boot without me. Okay, two dogs, six people. This is the real kernel now booting up. Yes, you install KBoot onto an area of the firmware, and then from KBoot you can boot up, you know, any PowerPC Linux.
Is that KBoot used in other Linux distros?
I've only recently heard of KBoot myself. It's an independent project. It's not actually part of PlayStation 3, it's just this is the way that Sony chose to allow it, basically. You install an ELF program into an area of your flash RAM, and then the PlayStation game OS can essentially run that ELF binary, and that ELF binary can do whatever an ELF binary can do, in this case it's just kboot, which boots so
same as
Linux.
Same as PS2.
I'm assuming so. Here, you're freezing. Also, can you want this guy captain? So we can get Linux running on PlayStation 3, Yellow Dogs, 5.0. I have my suspicions that the Game OS, as it's called, is actually Linux at its heart.
It almost certainly is.
Sorry?
It almost certainly is.
Yeah, exactly. We can't quite nail it down and confirm it, but there's lots of suspicion out there. As far as I'm concerned, the fact that it boots up the other Linux via an ELF binary is kind of a dead giveaway.
Have you gotten the flash done?
I have actually run strings through the firmware update.
Okay.
I found several files, some of which slash, etc. slash.
Okay.
All right. So. They have four pages in their manual which they list the symbols, the registered trademarks, and all the other things they've had to pay license fees to include into the PlayStation game OS. Some of them are Linux libraries. Like I said, all the clues point to Ed. The only people that know for sure are Sony and game developers who are under an NDA, so we can never find out for sure.
If it's not that, it's possibly one of the BSD, or like a BSD under a BSD license or something.
Yes, I've yet to hear of anybody actually getting BSD running on this.
Sony's got more resources.
Plenty of different Linux distros running on the thing, but as far as I know, no one's got BSD running on it. I'm sure kboot can boot BSD. So I'm sure it's possible. I mentioned restrictions earlier. There's something called the hypervisor, which basically sits between Linux and some of the hardware. One of the pieces of hardware that sits between is the Blu-ray drive. I haven't actually found that it actually restricts anything as such, so I'm not too sure what that is about. The next piece of hardware it sits behind is the hard drive itself. Now, when you install Linux on here, the first thing you do is to repartition the upgradable hard drive. And I say upgradable because they, in the manual, they tell you how to upgrade the hard drive. So it's designed to actually pull that hard drive. It's just a laptop SATA hard drive. You can put in a bigger one. When you partition this hard drive from Game OS, you get two choices. 10 gigabyte and the rest of the hard drive, or the rest of the hard drive at 10 gigabyte. One of those two, the Game OS is on, the other one, Linux goes on. The hypervisor stops you from being able to read the Game OS partition from Linux, which is fair enough. The third thing that the hypervisor stops you from having a look at is the GPU.
Does that mean you can't just put any hard drive in it then? You have to use a Sony hard drive?
No, any hard drive. As long as it's a laptop SATA drive, it'll go in there.
So where is the actual OS stored then?
On
Flash.
The OS itself is stored on Flash. It stores saved games. And because it's also a media center, it saves your movies and pictures and music all on hard drive.
So nothing really important is involved in the hard drive?
No. You pull out the old hard drive, put a new one, you go into Game OS, you say, format it, and then you install, new videos, new game, and you say, install it on a bigger hard drive. Look familiar, Asta? Well, that part of it you can see. This is Enlightenment E17. Do you remember Asta now?
No one knows me.
Apparently, I'm his right-hand man. According to the CEO of TerraSol Solutions. Rastra's seen that email.
Right.
He said nothing, so. Yellow Dog Linux 5.0 for the PlayStation 3 featuring the E17. That's the very first thing you saw on their website until a few weeks ago. Still features E17, it's just not the very first thing you see on the website anymore. But what you guys really want to see is the games, don't you?
Frozen bubble.
I was talking about the GPU before being hiding behind the hypervisor. We get a frame buffer in main RAM. Main RAM is 256 megabyte of 3.2 gigahertz XDR RAM. It's fast, but there's not much of it. Frame buffer takes up a portion. The hypervisor takes up a portion. We end up with about 190 megabytes, I believe. You're not going to do much heavy-duty multitasking on this thing. But you can run Firefox. I'll see even less than you do. That one's Firefox, trust me. It's a console. No, sorry, that one's Firefox. That one's Sylphic Claws. I don't know what those ones are. You can run your big applications, but it's probably best to run them one at a time. You run lots of small applications. Excuse me a moment. Oh yeah, once you've filled up this frame buffer in main RAM, you basically ask the hypervisor to DMA this to the real frame buffer on the GPU. This is the only GPU access we have at the moment. It's likely to change, but I don't think it'll ever be fully opened up. It has four USB slots and sockets on it. Currently have a slightly better than ordinary keyboard plug into it. USB mouse. The USB. Okay. Also controls these card reader. There's three card slots in there of various types. Bluetooth is attached to the USB. There is wireless on the thing. No one actually knows exactly where it is. We can't really talk to it yet, but I have received confirmation saying that we will be able to talk to it eventually. Now, when these things hit Australia in about March, I reckon, this top of the range model with the wireless and the 60 gigabyte hard drive will be about $1,000. And for that $1,000, you get a games console, you get a Linux computer, you get a Blu-ray drive. Blu-ray drives, just by themselves, cost twice that. I've heard recently that apparently Sony makes people sign in their contract that they're not allowed to print porn. Everybody reckons this means the Blu-ray drive is just not going to work. Porn is a good driver of technology.
Because I write in, if you get them directly from Japan, they'll be about $600. So for some reason here, you're getting very hard, bad into the bargain by your PS3 here.
I'm just translating the US price in Australian dollars when I say $1,000. We don't know what the price is actually going to be. They'll probably drop prices worldwide by the time we get them anyway. We just don't know.
That was the price the PS2 was, wasn't it, when it first came out?
Same 700 or something. But the other thing you get, which we can access from Linux, is the Cell Broadband Engine. This is an awesome CPU. It, however, starts off with a fairly lackluster PowerPC chip. The PowerPC chip is really just run those boring parts of your operating system that you don't really want to put the other parts onto, and to supervise the other parts. The other parts, which make up the six penguins, is what's called the SPU. These are really, really fast floating point coprocessors. There are eight of them. One of them is essentially turned off to increase production yields by Sony. The other one runs the hypervisor. these SPUs have this way of basically securely isolating themselves from the rest of the world, except for some portion of the RAM, their own internal RAM, which they decide to share with the rest of the world. This is why the hypervisor is running on it, which is why I think it's going to be difficult for the people who usually produce hacks for these things to actually produce hacks for these things. But all up, in theory, we should be able to get 2 teraflops out of that thing. We can't access the GPU, but I think we can do some decent 3D performance just using these SPUs. Which just dump to the frame RAM, do DMA, the frame buffer to the DMA. That's what alignment normally looks like when it's not being branded the way TerraSol solutions. Applications, system tools, boot PS3 game OS. Now, while other people giving their talks during most of the day, I've finally been trying to get access to the network since Saturday. Been various technical problems, most of them not to do with PlayStation 3. And I spent most of the day just downloading game demos. But until then I only had one game demo. It only lasted a couple of minutes. If you have music, you'll be hearing some music now. Whoa! Okay, just like game demos. Okay.
So these are demos you've downloaded to your Tengu petition?
Yes. This is the one I had before. So, this apparently is awesome.
This is pretty good. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Bluetooth controller. It's tilted. Yeah, I'm guessing there's sound.
Is the sound plug in?
Apparently we can only do sound if we actually use the composite video.
Right.
And I do not want to insult your intelligence by doing composite video. Let's hit the play button, see what happens. Oh, okay.
Oh shit.
Not me, you can do it better.
Okay. Steering. What? No, tilt?
Don't worry about that, just pull that off.
Boost.
Boost a wee bit of steering before that.
Firing. Well, this is not as high resolution as 720p, which is probably why we're not seeing it.
You're
trying
to
smile
than the other
one. Whoa! Hey, no, I
front, right. Four finger in front of the controller.
Heck!
Well, there we go. How do I steer? Ah, there we go.
Steering's over, right?
Now, where do I go? I'm going to fall off a cliff.
Very sound fast.
Whoa!
That's the way.
Noticed how the car fell apart completely, quite ballistically.
Whoa!
Oh,
yeah.
You know, so the crowd.
So, do you have a driver's license?
No.
Who said that?
Good thing.
Who asked that question?
Turn left.
Can I say the crowd don't move the crowd? Good step.
How could you get a swarm when you fell off the cliff there? You lost your house.
Oh, well, that was still.
This game's all about falling off the
cliff. I hate driving ghosts, quite frankly. But it is, you know, the demonstration you can have
in here. You're playing the Samurai game.
It's like Newtonian physics in action.
Yes. Exactly. The SPUs are being used for physics. And they're doing quite a good job.
You can be coming from that view, right?
Boost.
Not enough
boost. I'll put some ride.
You have rocket boosters?
Yes. This zombie was some experience.
Surely other players are in this zombie.
I should catch up. They'll be coming past any moment. Busy having a beer.
Anyways, for Linux on the PlayStation 3, it's early days yet. This is a brand new CPU. Brand new CPU that pretty much no one actually has any experience with programming.
Nice.
It's the problem with console development, though, is no one ever understands the CPU until the next generation's coming out.
Yes. So, of course, you know.
To put this in perspective, there were game developers that had this 18 months ago.
TerraSoft had this 18 months ago. Anybody else want to go?
Oh, I gave you a frisbee, somebody else.
There's sort of a him wanting one.
You're all right. No, you'll get to play
more. Yeah, I would know, I will. No, they're catching up.
Oh, there they come around.
Maybe you can.
TerraSoft Solutions has a. They're basically in bed with Sony. They are building two clusters made out of PlayStation 3.
For Sony.
Have other clusters literally on PlayStation 3 like that?
Yeah, I suspect they're actually the LVDA units which all the developers will be saying.
Yeah, the Mac mount.
Yeah.
Oh, Square again.
Yes.
There's one big thing like Mac mount and those things.
So how much is the pre-install for? TerraSoft was saying the pre-install for how much they
can. Keep going, keep going.
I don't know what the actual real price was. Because I worked for them, basically I paid for the 20 gigabyte no wireless version. And I got the 60 gigabyte wireless version with Yellow Dog Linux pre-installed.
Is anyone else going to go?
Cluster one, have they removed all the Blu-ray drives? Because they're frankly pretty useless to save a lot of money. Have they?
I don't know. I had this small hole in my resume. It says, Supercomputers is the only device I've never actually programmed. When I told TerraSoft Solutions this, they said, yeah, you're working on PS3, though. So the last point I'm trying to make, basically, is that there's an awful lot of Linux software out there, and almost none of it has been optimized for running on the Cell processor. That will happen slowly but surely, one package at a time, as TerraSoft Solution and all the other
Linux hackers that haven't had one of these things work on that problem.
Nice.
Questions? Yes.
Yeah, so if GameOps is suspected to be Linux, what is the copyright situation of that suspected to be?
I'm not a lawyer. Next question.
Okay, here's a real question. How many CPU cores does Linux actually see? Like, if you look at proc CPU...
Did you see the boot sequence? Two dogs,
oh,
six penguins.
Okay.
Yes.
But wait, isn't the CPU actually just a single PowerPC for
it's
the main control?
Hyper-threaded. Two threads.
Oh.
That's why there's two dogs,
that's
why. Six penguins.
Some evil hyper-threaded.
Yes. It actually doesn't work so badly. I've seen it hit decent performance on through those two threads. On the other hand, we'd actually tried to compile a kernel with dash J2. It was a case of the two hot threads went like this. Never really hit more than 100% most of the time, but compiling other stuff, like Enlightenment 17 for instance, did a good job of using both.
But does it actually improve the speed? It actually
yes.
Is a...
Yes, I've seen it hit about 170% sometimes.
And then have you times the compiles?
Not sure.
Yeah. I'm just
I told you before in email. Haven't had a chance to.
Yeah.
I've had to learn breadth of depth so I can answer hard questions. Next hard question. Anybody other than Rusty?
What are you planning on doing with this particular Xbox or your plans for it?
Well, this is mine and I hope to get some cell programming done. TerraSoft Solutions wants me to start working on multimedia software. So I'll be getting things like video players and samplers and
cool.
Editing suites and things like that running well.
Nice.
What do they actually intend this to be? There's a Linux thing, other than a gimmick. I mean, what do they expect we'd actually use it for?
They want you to buy one. I mean, what else do they need to do? It's pretty ingenious.
I've basically been slowly turning this into my main workstation. So, yeah. What am I going to do with it? I'm going to do a bit of development with it. I don't know anybody else is going to do with it.
Yeah, I mean, why would you buy it?
Have you had a play with the Linux SPU interface that's been sort of developed?
I've not had a chance to do any programming.
Because that's where it's going to get really interesting. Right?
Yeah.
Just running Linux on this thing, it's cool, but you don't get any of the gigaflops out of it until you start getting those SPUs really pumping and
pipeline
exactly. And everything. So
yes. The guy next to you, I think, was next.
I was just going to say, if you're writing a video player sort of stuff for it, what's TerraSoft's sort of long-term plans for this? If they're developing all this software and porting or...
What they want to do is to actually sell Yellowdog Linux for PlayStation 3s in retail stores next door to the PlayStation 3s in Walmarts and Kmart's and things like that.
What kind of process would be polished? So when they turn it on, they can use their controller to pick Linux or games or
what's that? That's in Sony's hands. It's actually a little bit clunky booting from Game OS to Linux. I showed you just then how easy it is to boot the other way.
Yeah.
It's a menu option in your standard menu. But the booting the other way is completely in Sony's hands, and it's a few button presses and down and across, and you actually have to turn it off first. Because essentially what you're saying is, next time you boot up in Linux. So then you turn it off, and then you turn it on again. Yep.
What compilers are you using? Is it the IBM Docker compiler or something
else? Sony have actually been working on GCC.
Oh.
So they have put cell stuff and PS3 stuff into the kernel and into GCC. Sony's been putting a lot of stuff into the 2.6.20 kernel. Not out yet. This is running 2.6.16. I've not had a chance to actually sit down and put through his paces yet. Got two more frisbees. Yes.
The PS2 has got an IO and EOP and stuff on like that. Does this have the same kind of backwards compatibility of being able to run that gear, or is this just emulated?
Sorry about the old PlayStation.
Well, so the PS2 has got the two MIPSIC cores on it.
Yeah. Randback here somewhere, I think it is.
Yeah, so
it's a PlayStation 2 on a chip.
Oh, so it actually has a.
Inside PlayStation 2 on a chip. is a PlayStation 1 on a portion of the chip.
So they still have all those libraries and stuff like that because they use GCC for all the PS2 development. So you still have access to all of that, and can you get access to that as a developer doing stuff? Can you get
I'm not actually a registered Sony developer, so I don't know what's in their development kit.
Yeah.
And if I did, I wouldn't be allowed to tell you. But yes, you can run PS2 games on it, PS1 games on it. Interestingly, you can actually use the PSP as a remote control, where the display and the controls are set to your PSP.
Right.
You can play games and videos and things.
Does it do the wireless thing from that?
Yes, wireless. And they're working on being able to do that onto the other side. Questions? Someone give me a really good one. I've got one more frisbee. Or I'll just throw it over there somewhere. Did you do any good? I wasn't watching.
Actually,
who's got it now?
I was going to answer your question about the media stuff. Remember, the Cell was not developed by Sony. It was developed by IBM, Sony, and Toshiba. And there are actually long-known plans for that to be used not just in the game consoles, but in everything they can build. So in televisions, in VCRs, DVRs, you name it. So the PS3 is merely the first low-price, accessible, Cell available to anybody. And from there on in, either one way or the other, it's that platform, and once you develop stuff for it, it'll just come out in a different box, different form factor, different clock rate. But if you're optimized for it, you can make use of it. So
Toshiba's already shipping devices which have Cell in there. They're actually the first thing on the market, the Toshiba device. And they've also demonstrated the decoding of 48 HDTV streams simultaneously.
With the HD?
No, HD TVs, all at once, using one of the cells.
Yes, it's an awesome processor.
For that sort of thing.
And so we just need to spend a lot of time unlocking that awesomeness for those thousands and thousands of Linux applications out there, in one application at a time.
Yeah, well, I'll be doing one at a time,
When he gets away, here's in March, he'll be doing one at a time. You can be doing one at a time, you can be doing one at a time. He might do two at a time.
It's up.
Ooh.